It's your daily voice note talking about those uncomfortable conversations in your relationship, in your friendships, in your environment, in your family, in your mind. Listen to this podcast with an open mind. Treasure this podcast because nobody is ever going to tell you this. Happy Monday. Another podcast for you. On today's podcast, we're going to be talking about trauma bond relationships. But before we get onto that, 70% of you that listen to this podcast have not yet subscribed or have not followed or left a review. So if you're listening to this podcast on Apple, please click those stars and write a comment or a review on how you feel about the podcast or a particular episode. If you're watching on Spotify, please click those stars to push the podcast out there. Click the stars according to how you feel, so we can push out this podcast. So many of you have messaged me and said, this podcast is really helpful. I've learned so much. I feel so good. I feel at peace. And if that's the way you feel, please share it so someone else could feel the same feeling that you feel. Anyway, I can't wait to see your reviews and I can't wait to see those stars clicked. Let's get on to trauma bond relationships. Now, before I explain what I'm going to explain, let's first understand what trauma bond relationships are. So trauma bonding is a psychological response to abuse. It occurs when the abused person forms an unhealthy bond with the person who abuses them. So basically, it's some kind of bond that you create with someone that abuses you, with someone that does not treat you well, but you still have this bond that you attach yourself onto. Now, trauma bond relationships, 90% of the time, they happen in emotionally connected relationships. They rarely do happen in non-romantic relationships for some reason, you know? Now, let me tell you the signs of a trauma bond relationship. If you're someone who's listening to this and you know someone who has this kind of signs, or maybe you yourself has this kind of signs, then please do listen to this podcast with an open heart, okay? Number one, someone in a trauma bond relationship will agree with the abusive person's reason for treating them badly. So the person that is in that trauma bond relationship will agree with their abuser on why they're treating them like that. They will literally say, oh, he treats me like that because he loves me. He's trying to correct me. He treats me like that because he is going through a bad business season, or his job is stressing him, or he has just lost his mom, or he has just, you know, lost a family member. This is why he's treating me. So the person that literally is being abused is agreeing with why that person is abusing them. The other reason is they try to cover for the abusive person. So every single time that person is abusive, they cover for them. And someone asks them if it's a physical abuse, or why do you have those bruises? They'll be like, oh, no, it's not a bruise. I fell down the stairs. Oh, they wear long-sleeved clothes or use makeup to cover it up. Trying every single way to cover that abusive person's marks that they have left because they are scared of that person leaving them, you know? The other reason is people in a trauma bond relationship tend to distance themselves away from people who are trying to help, you know, such as friends and family. When friends and family come and try to help you out of that relationship, try to tell you about that relationship and how much pain it's causing you because they can see it, you distance yourself away from them in claims of saying that they are too much involved in your relationship. They do not know how you feel. They do not know what is going on. Okay, so those are some of the signs that I came up with when it comes to trauma bond relationships. Now you're wondering to yourself, how do you create trauma bond relationships? Trauma bond relationships mainly occur from a younger age when it comes to your caregiver. The way your caregiver was present and absent in your life creates that trauma bond sort of relationship. For example, these are some of the things that cause it, you know, attachment, feeling attached. If you have any attachment issues, for example, when you were younger, your parents were not available, they came in and they came out whenever they wanted to, they were not always there for you, you tend to have that attachment to people that you love because in fear of them going away, or you're scared that they'll leave you. So you create that feeling of attachment and dependency, you know, onto the person that you love. You know, even when they're abusing you, you don't care, you just still feel attached to them because they are your main source of support, they are your main source of comfort. So you depend on them for emotional needs, you depend on them for everything, you find excuses for them. You know, it's funny that even when they cause you that pain, you still run to them for comfort, to make you feel better after they have caused that pain. Trauma bond relationships can be the same as toxic relationships. You know, over and over again, you wonder why you keep going back to this person, you keep attaching yourself to this person. This is why so many people say to women or men who are in relationships that that man or that woman is being abusive to you, why can't you leave that relationship? The funny thing is that those people who are in that kind of relationship, they always rely on the 10% of what the abuser says to them in order for them to stay. For example, today he'll take her out for dinner, but after that dinner, when they get back home, he will hit her, you know, and he'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I was just stressed, I just didn't like the environment where we went. And she'll be like, it's okay. So now they are holding themselves in something called a cycle of abuse, because a cycle of abuse is where the abuser asks for forgiveness over and over again when they commit the abuse, you know. So you stay into that cycle of being in a trauma sort of bond relationship. It's because you experience trauma when you're younger, and because of that trauma, you're reflecting it onto your adult relationships. Let me give you an example. I was listening to a podcast that is called The Best Kept Secret by Sharon K. Mwanji. I've been following her for quite some time, and she talked about this topic. Now, I didn't really get this topic from her because it was already on my list of things that I wanted to talk about, but I watched her and how she approached it, and she talked about it. She said that she was in a relationship with a guy that no matter what he did, they still went back. She gave an example of the time when she was ill, and she called him and told him, I'm ill, are you gonna come? He said he was gonna come, but he never ever turned up. But then after some time, when he hit her up, she replied back, she went back to him. The number of times she said that she blocked him and unblocked him, you know, ended the relationship and went back to the relationship, that she can't even recall how many times those things happened. You know, she said she kept going back to him over and over again, no matter the kind of treatment that he gave her. It was until the time whereby she went and she saw her therapist. But during the whole entire relationship, her friends were telling her, why don't you leave this relationship? Why are you still sticking to this relationship? But she never understood it. She said that when she went to therapy, the therapist explained to her that the kind of relationship you're having is a trauma bond relationship on your caregivers. Now, the caregivers could be your parents, could be your grandparents, could be the person that was your primary carer when you were young. You know, for her, she explained that it came from the parents. Now, that's where the attachment came from. That's where the trauma bonding started bonding itself, that it manifested when she became older. You know, trauma bonding is that kind of thing that can even turn into something toxic. You know, you yourself who is being abused, you become toxic. You know, you become toxic to yourself, you become toxic to that relationship yourself, because now this person that is abusing you, you're finding excuses for them, and now you're becoming that sort of toxic person. You know, trauma bond relationships, they come from a point of sympathy. Most people in trauma bond relationships sympathize, if I'm pronouncing it well, with the abuser and why they act the way they act, you know. For example, I'll give you an example about my own self. When I was going through, I've experienced this kind of trauma bond sort of relationship, but I cut it off when I was about 22, because when I was growing up, when I was younger, I never heard I love you from my mom or I love you from my dad. It never ever occurred, you know. The word I love you was taboo. Even hugging as a physical thing was just a taboo. So when I grew up and I was in a relationship with someone, this particular person, regardless of what they did, the fact that they say to me, I love you, that was it. I was the moment they said, I love you, I said, I'm here to stay. You know, come rain, come shine, come winter, come ice, come whatever it is, I'm here to stay. Regardless of the comments he gave me, I still attached myself to it. Regardless of the times that he went out with other women and did everything, the fact that he said that you're the one I see, you're the main person that I call a girlfriend, I stayed. Because nobody had ever told me, I love you. Nobody had ever made me feel that way and made me feel like I was that special kind of person, because I never had that special treatment from my dad or that special treatment from my mom. You know, I was seeking for it, and when someone was able to give that to me, I created that bonding to this person. Even when this person said, I am going to leave because I'm going to get married to someone else, I was like, I'm here whenever you need me, because I'm gonna be that girl, I'm gonna be the good girl. So many people in trauma bond relationships consider themselves to be the good girl. You look for the good within that person, even when that person is already giving you bad. You know, the relationship is based on 80% of the bad things that happen, and probably the 20% for the times that he gives you money, takes out on debts, he calls you, texts you. In fact, let's say the 10%, you know. And that is just how it happens. You rely on those kind of things for the relationship to run. And in actual sense, trauma bond relationships are not the best relationship you can be in. For me, when I realized that, I broke the pattern and I say to myself, there is no way someone can treat me like this for the next 10 to 20 years and I expect my life to move on. I expect my life to be better. I expect to achieve. You know, I looked at myself and I said, is this how I see myself? Is this what love is? And I kept on seeing people online, videos, and talking about relationships and expressing relationships, and they're talking about love and what it is. And I'm like, what is it that I'm in right now? Because what I'm seeing and what people are explaining and what I'm seeing, experiencing around with my friends is very different from what I'm having. So what is it that I'm having? You know, so all those kind of questions made me realize that, you know what, you need to tackle your childhood and understand it. And I said, you know, getting into the position whereby that kind of love and relationship was not given to my mom or my dad from both their parents. So it was a norm for them to be like that, because we normally take care of our children, or we take care of the people around us based on how we have been taken care of, based on how we have been sort of, you know, cared for. So that's what happened. And I say to myself, okay, maybe they love me in their own way, but because they didn't say it and express it the way I wanted to express, doesn't mean that I am less of anything, you know. So when it comes to trauma bond experiences, you have to peel back the mask, you have to peel off the skin and go back to your primary caregivers, the people that took care of you when you were young. How were they? Were they present all the time? You know, sometimes even the presence of them being there all the time, they were present 24/7, creates that attachment style that when you get into a relationship, in order for you to know that this person loves you, you have to be with them 24/7. Some people want to be texting and calling 24/7. They want to go with their partners to the job. They want to be where their partner is. If the partner goes to meet friends, they want to be there. If the partner is going even to the gym, they want to go there. They want to be in the same room with the partner at 24/7 in order to feel the love, because that's how their caregivers showed them love. That's how their caregivers expressed love to them, by being there. So because of that, they have created that trauma onto the relationships that come up in their adulthood, that they have the attachment. Or it's the opposite, the parents were never around, you know, so they had to do more and give more in order for the parents to stay, like to lie to their parents they are sick, so the parent can not go on that safari or cannot go on that business trip, so they can stay with them. So they have created that kind of mindset that if I do this, then this person is going to stay. That's why you find people sometimes in relationships forging to be sick, you know, creating those emotional feelings so that that person can stay. Like, for example, saying, oh, I'm sick today, babe, so the guy can stay around or can do something for them, because they have that trauma bonding of when they were little. In order for dad or mom to stay with them, they had to tell mom or dad that I'm sick, I don't want to go to school today, or they make up sicknesses and they vomit and they do all those kind of things. So in their adulthood, they do the same cycle that becomes manipulative onto the partner that they are with, and they create that cycle. So that person knows that you depend on them to feel better, and they start abusing them. You know, so when it comes to trauma bond relationships, the best way that you can break trauma bond relationships is, mainly in my opinion, is seeing repetitive advice. Remember the advice that everyone else is giving you. If the advice that is coming from your friends, your family, your colleagues, from a stranger is the same based on the relationship that you're telling them, then you definitely know that something is up and something is not right. Look at yourself and say, is this where I want to be? Is this how I want my children to be? Is this what I deserve? Look in your heart. You know deep down in your heart who you are as a person, how kind you are, how loving you are, how honest and amazing you are. And if that is what you feel in your heart, you expect someone to be around you that nourishes the feeling that you have, so you can give that to them. You know, try to focus on the evidence. Focus on the evidence and see, this person is actually hitting me. This person is actually, you know, beating me right now. You know, that is the evidence for you to be like, you know what, this is enough. You know, some people create trauma bond relationships based on what they have seen as a child. Mom beat dad, dad beat mom, you know, and maybe mom say to you, it is okay, it will be fine, this is how a relationship is, it will all work out, we have to stay. And she endured that pain and she endured that abuse over and over again. Now when you grow up as an adult, because you've seen that and your mom said it is okay, that is how a marriage is, it will get better, you're now in a relationship whereby he beats you. Or maybe you, as a man, you're in a relationship whereby she beats you because you have seen the opposite. Your mom, you know, hitting your dad. I watched a documentary called Killer Sally. And in the whole documentary, which is on Netflix, towards the end of the documentary, they started talking about the children of Sally. Now, Sally was a bodybuilder and the husband was a bodybuilder, you know, and their relationship was very abusive. You know, dad beat mom, mom beat dad. But the majority of the time, mom was defending herself to beat dad, you know, that kind of thing. And they talked about them. Can you believe Sally had two children? One was a guy and one was a girl. Throughout the whole episodes and everything, they started talking about themselves. And the daughter of Sally was in a relationship whereby she was being abused. She was being abused. The same thing that created trauma in their household, the same thing that led to their stepdad being killed, because Sally ended up shooting, ended up shooting the husband, and he died, and she was in prison, you know, because of all the abuse that was happening. And now the daughter was being abused by another man in the relationship. You would think that the daughter would have known better based on what she saw at home between the dad and the mom, but no, she had that trauma bonding that was around her. And guess what? The son to Sally was abusing the wife. He was abusing the wife, you know. Sally went to the military camp. The daughter went to a military. The son also went into military and joined the military, you know, and the son was abusing women, was hitting women, was beating women. You would think both of them would have learned in the relationship that they were in terms of mom and dad, but no, they didn't. They created that trauma bonding. The same thing that happened to the mom, the same thing that is happening to the daughter, the same thing that is happening to the son. And it comes to tell you, if you haven't watched Killer Sally, go and watch it so you can get to this point and you understand. And it makes you understand so many things. This is the last point on this topic. And it's sort of like, I watched another sort of documentary that was talking about prison and people in prison. And most of the people in prison were talking about their childhood and the environment in which they grew up. It never helped. Someone would say that their mom was, you know, an addict to alcohol, an addict to drugs, never did anything, and that's how the child turned up to be. Trauma bonding all around us. So you have to try as much as you can to separate yourself from that kind of bonding, because it will mean to affect you and affect your children and become a cycle that is within your family. Okay, I know I've spoken so much on this podcast, but the last thing that I can say, the three things that I mentioned of how to break a trauma is focus on the evidence, practice self-positive talk, and repetitive advice from people. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. This is the longest podcast that I've ever talked about, but I hope it does help. And do not forget to click those stars. Do not forget to share this podcast. Please push it out. Share it. If you know a friend who is going through a trauma bond relationship or some trauma bonding, please, this podcast, send it to them. You would have saved, you know, someone's mindset or maybe life by sending this podcast. Have a lovely Monday, and I shall hear from you next week, Monday. Bye.